I believe there's a whole bunch of people that are looking at me that feel just like me, that God wants to do something different in my life, but I need to do something different to know what that is. Because if not, just gonna have another year and not a new year.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Tommy. Thanks for joining us today at the church at Bushland. Man, we pray that your faith will be encouraged and inspired from today's message.
Thank you so much, worship team. So love you, man, so blessed. Well, let me say a couple things. Number one, Happy New Year. By the way, church, Happy New Year. I wanna say thank you to Nick and to Jordan for stepping up last week and covering, and they did a great job. I'm thankful for those two guys. And I wanted to mention also that today and next Sunday also is Small Group Expo. You'll find that in the hallway down the hall right here. Those are all the small groups that we have going on. Mark is our small group pastor, does a tremendous job, love him. So he's got small groups all set up down here. So if you're new to our church or came this fall and didn't really jump into a group and you wanna start the new year in a group, man, they're down the hall. We would love to help you. Mark can give you some suggestions. We can kind of point you in the right direction, but we want you to jump into a small group. Corporate worship, big church is awesome. Nothing like it, but being in a small group and really getting to know people and do relationship, that's what we're about here at TCAB, and we want you to do that. So I wanted to throw that out there. Don't like making commercials, but sometimes I gotta make them, all right? So, but I did want to mention that. Also, today is the intro to Pray First. If you haven't already, you will get a book. There's plenty for everyone, so please take one. Don't share as a couple. I'm not sure how good you share, so get one each, okay, on that. And these are for you. What we're doing today is we're jumping into 21 days of prayer and fasting, okay? I'll talk more about fasting next week, but today starts 21 days of prayer, okay? It will end on the 26th of January, okay? And so I'm gonna set it up today, talk more about fasting next week. You may or may not jump in on the fasting aspect of it, but that's we'll talk about that. That's your call, okay? But I do want you to grab the prayer book and to make 21 days of prayer a priority, okay? Just think for just a second how much richer your life would be if you started a new year for 21 days and you sat with God in prayer, 21 straight days. If anybody in here would be poor after 21 days of sitting with Jesus in prayer, I will pay your debt personally. There's no way you'd be poor, okay? You'd be rich, rich, rich. So I want you to jump into that, okay? The books are for you. We got 700 of them, so you don't have to fight. There's plenty for everyone. For everybody. So if you remember this time last year, close to this time last year, I gave you a passage of scripture for 24. Passage of scripture, if you remember, Proverbs 3:5-6. I want to read it to you. I want to start there and unpack this a little bit. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That was our verse for 24. 24 was a very interesting year, if you remember. When we started 24, we were like, what in the fat is gonna happen this year? Y'all remember that? We didn't have a clue. We knew in November we had an election coming, and we knew we needed God to do something, all right? And so, we trusted in the Lord with all of our heart. Can I say this? We did, and he did. He did in 24 what no one could do in 24. If you remember, there was a lot against what happened. I'm not trying to paint picture here. I'm just stating facts, okay? There was several, you can decide the number, attempts at that time candidate for President Trump. All attempts were unsuccessful, even though they were mighty, they were good. All right. Unsuccessful. We needed something to happen in November, not just for us as a church, but for a nation as a country. We prayed, we sought the Lord, we got out, we beat bushes. We had voter turnout like we never seen. We had people that never voted vote. We had people that voted one party once and decided to vote a different way this time. God did every bit of that. Man did not do that, even though man was involved in making it happen, okay? God used man in that, okay? The election came, the election went the way it did, okay? All right? All of that was very, very, very important because the voices over the last 4 years had been voices that have sometimes been kind of quiet, but under that administration felt like they had the authority to be loud. And oh, Lord, were they loud. And the church kind of climbed back in a hole. And so the election went away. In November, the election went the way the Lord wanted the election to go. And for many believers, it went the way that they wanted as well. So what does that mean? Well, yes, the voices that were loud are now quiet because they don't have the backing that they did before, right? But the quiet little church that climbed in a hole must reclaim its authority on the earth and become the church that God set it up to be. It must be, and it must claim the gap or the space that is there. If it doesn't, I'm not sure it gets another shot. This is not a political message, but I have to set it up this way, okay? Or I feel led to set it up this way. We, as born-again children of God, mom, dad, boys, and girls, have got to stand up and reclaim turf that we yielded or gave to the enemy. And we have got to become a voice, all right? We got to become a voice for the word of God and for truth and for the cross that he ordained us to be. We trusted in the Lord with all our heart. We did, and he did. And now that he did it, may he awaken America, and may he awaken the church. Because I'm afraid if we don't get another shot. And that's not a scare tactic, it's just a reality. I felt like over the last couple of months, since November, America and the church, to an extent, has taken a big, deep breath. Oh, whew. That's over. And that went the right way. And thank the Lord for that. All right. There's only a certain amount of time if you play sports that you can breathe. And after that breath you take, you got to play again. And I'm telling you, now that we've taken a big deep breath, it's time to play. It's time to get busy. And this house is going to get busy, okay? And I know other churches that understand the same thing, and you will see that as well, okay? If you look at the verse, it goes on, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And it says, lean not on your own understanding. Very interesting. But in all of your ways, acknowledge him. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. I always ask the Lord, I take from the candlelight services when they end until a little after the first of the year, I take that week of vacation. Oh, I take that week off. And I don't come out to the church. I have another little study and office at my house and I stay there. And I spend the majority of that time asking the Lord what he has for the church the next year. And I lay out what I call my bones for 52 Sundays. My bones are laid out all the way through. I can tell you when candlelight is going to be already. And some of you are like, please don't do that. My Christmas is still out. All right? But I'm not going to do it, okay? But I know that because I believe if I don't know where God wants the church to go, then shame on me. Because how do you lead if you're not out in front of it? And so I have a reason for the way I do it. And so I take that week off. And so I always ask the Lord, Lord, what do you have a verse for the year? Not only for myself, but for the church. Do you have a verse for the year or a word for the year? And so for a couple of days, a week or so, I've been asking that leading up to that, even through candlelight. And so on Monday morning, the 30th of December, I got up normal because I, even on vacation, I don't vacation well. So I get up early again and I make coffee and I go to my little office study at the house. And God said, write this down. Okay. He said, write the word deep. Deep? Like swimming pool deep? This is a conversation a little after five. He said, write it down. I said, okay, wrote the word deep. He said, that'd be enough. That's all you got. Lord, that's all you got? He said, I got more, but that's enough for today. Just write the word deep. And so I wrote it down. And I sat with it all day. And I worked out and went for a walk and all this other stuff. And I just kept thinking about the word deep. And as I was walking, God began to unpack deep. Jeff, there are people today that are emotionally, over the last 3 or 4 years, not in a good place emotionally. You can say they're in deep doo-doo emotionally. They're just not good. Jeff, there are people today that are not in a good place mentally in our country, in our churches. They're just not in a good place. They're not in a good place. They're in deep mentally. They cannot or will not allow the word of God to transform the renewing of their minds. And their minds are a mess, man. They know the truth, but they can't do the truth. And they're just emotionally and mentally not in a good place. They're in deep, deep mess. Jeff, there are people in the church in America today that are not in a good place physically. They're just not. They know they're not. They would tell you they're not good place physically. They're in the deep physically. And they need a move of God in their life physically or they're going to be in trouble. God's going to have to do something drastic in order to get their attention. They've got to get a handle on their physical being, on their physical life, on their physical discipline, and their physical habits, or they're gonna be in a bad place. Jeff, there are people in America and in the church today that are not in a good place, okay, financially. They're not. Over the last 3 or 4 years under this administration, they have gotten themselves in financial debt up to their elbows, ears, and over their head. They cannot take on any more water. They're in the deep. They're in the deep, man. And they've got to have breakthrough, and they've got to have radical breakthrough and change in their life physically. I mean, financially, or they're in trouble. And Jeff, there are people in the church and in America today that are not in a good place spiritually. They're not. They've been told over the last 3 or 4 years, there is no God, there is no truth. Make it up for yourself and everything's the same. You just choose what you want. There's no more word of God. They've just squashed the word of God and are not in a good place spiritually. They're real shallow spiritually, but they need to go into the deep spiritually. They have had their toe in the water and the shallow for a long, long time. And they have frequently looked out over the Gulf or over the Atlantic or over the Caribbean and said, golly, man, that's some gorgeous water out there. But they're too scared. They don't trust enough to go. And I believe that this is a year that there are people gonna be in the deep that are gonna have to be rescued out of the deep and brought back. But I also think there are people that are shallow that are gonna get to be introduced to the deep because for the first time, they're gonna get their toe out and they're gonna jump in. I don't know where you are, but that's the word God gave me for the church, for America, and for 25. It's simply the word deep. And that was Monday. So Tuesday morning, which happened to be the 31st, I got up and I put on clothes and I came through the bedroom and I pushed the button on the coffee pot. I like brewed coffee, like the way it smells. Right? And so I began to make my way to my office or my study. And God said, when you get in there, write this down. I wrote that down yesterday. He said, no, write this down. So I, can I just be honest? I didn't even pick up the pen. Because I thought he was referring to Monday. So I go back in towards the coffee pot, and it's still brewing. So I said, well, I'll wait a little bit. I looked at the clock on the coffee pot, it said 5:07. So I walked back to my study, and he said, take a legal pad and get a pen and write this down. And this is what I wrote. God said these words, I need you to stop doing the same thing in your life so I can do something different in your life. Let me say that again. I need you to stop doing the same thing in your life so I can do something different in your life. I said, God, is that a word for me, for the church? What is that? He said, yes. Yes. He said, Jeff, it's a word for you. It's also a word for the church. A lot of Jeffs out there. A lot of people just like that. You're the head pastor. You feed my sheep is what I've called you to do. I need you to stop doing the same thing in your life so I can do something different in your life. And then I wrote this. If you just do the same thing you did last year, you don't have a new year. You just have another year. If you just do the same thing you did last year, you don't have a new year. You just have another year. And this is how this went. Forgot the coffee even made. I said, God, but I had a really good 24. Personally, for my family, church, good 24. But it's a good 24, God. What's wrong with just doing that again? And God said these words. Is that as good as I can be? Is that as good as I can be? Is that my limit to what I can do? I need you to stop doing the same thing in your life so I can do something different in your life. Because if you just do the same thing you did last year, you're not gonna have a new year, you're gonna have another year. Good or bad, how many of us know without a doubt that God wants us to do something different so he can do something different? I believe there's a whole bunch of people that are looking at me that feel just like me, that God wants to do something different in my life, but I need to do something different to know what that is. Because if not, just gonna have another year and not a new year. See, God has no limit. And if I'm not willing to do something different in order to have him do something different, I've told God, you got no more room to move in my life. I must have maxed you out, God. You have a limit and you can't go any further. And I think 21 days of prayer will push you in a way you've never been pushed before. And I'm not even talking about the fasting aspect of it. If you wanna add that to it, that'll be next week. James 4:8 says this, come near to God. He will come near to you. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek you first his kingdom and his righteousness. He said, well, go ahead and read the other stuff. They read that other part. That's the good stuff. And all these things will be added to me. No, I'm not going to read it. No, because he's enough. And what comes after that? Sprinkles on the cupcake, baby. Icing on the cake. I'm not in it for the other stuff to be added to it. I'm just in it for you. Amen. When are we just going to pursue him, not his stuff? When is he just going to be enough? We talked about his presence. There's not a better place in the world than the presence of God. Oh, it's better if you get a new truck after that. Maybe. But listen to me. Don't let the truck drive you from his presence, and don't let getting a truck drive you to his presence. Just go to him. Just go to him. And say, God, I just need you. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you shared that with someone today and they ask you, how do you know? What's your answer? Some of you are like, that's why I don't share that verse. Taste and see if the Lord is good. How do you know that, preacher? How long you got? How tall is your glass of tea? Because I can talk forever on how good God is. I can tell you how good he tastes because I've seen it. Personally, I've seen it in my church. I've seen it in my family. I've seen it in other people. Taste and see that the Lord is good. What's your story and what you've tasted of the Lord, what you see of the Lord? Psalm 42, 1 and 2. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? When can I go and meet with God? That is my prayer for 21 days, a prayer, fasting. That is yours. When can I go meet with God? When can I go meet with God? When can I go? Psalm 27:8, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. Psalm 46:10, be still. And know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Couple questions. Number one, how well do you know God? How well do you know God? Not about God. Not about what you've been told about God. Not about the dots that you've put together that told you that's God, because they may be bad dots. But how well do you know God? How well do you know him? 46:10 says, be still and know God. There's an order there. Be still, know God. How well do you know God? Second question is this. How well do you know you? How well do you know you? Not what you've been told is you. Not what others have told you are you. Not what your mom and dad has said is you. But what has God told you about you? Who are you? Here's what happens. The more you know God, the more you know you. The less you know of God, the less you know of you. So what happens to us is this. If we don't know God really, then we really don't know ourselves. So we become everything everybody tells us we are, and we're miserable doing it. But we keep doing it. Why? Because we don't know any different. How about we get to know God and he'll tell us who we are, so we, whom we know ourselves better, can worship God better. Because if we just keep chasing after a God we don't know, we're just gonna continue to be someone we don't know. He says, be still and know that I am God. I want you to go to Psalm 139 real fast. Psalm 139. 13 and 14 say this. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Who knit you? God did. Let me say that again. Who knit you? God did. Then wouldn't he think that he would know you? 14 says, I praise you. That's debatable in some people's lives. Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I want you to go up to verse 1. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Look at 3. You discern my going out and my lying down. Watch this. You are familiar with all my ways. I don't know what your definition of intimacy is, but that's pretty intimate. If he knit you together and he made you and he knows you and he's familiar with all of your ways, don't you think that the God of all creation knows you better than anybody else? Anybody else? I want you to go to John 10 real fast. John 10. Look at verses 3 and 4. The watchman, John 10, verse 3 and 4. The watchman opens a gate for him. And the sheep, as you, listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And his sheep follow him. Why, you might ask? Because they know his voice. I want you to flip over one page if you have my Bible. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I am totally 110% convinced that the reason people cannot figure out who they are and find their way is because they never have taken the time to sit with God and know him so they can better know themselves. They don't know themselves. If I were to ask you today, how do you hear God? Could you answer that question? How do you hear God? How does God speak to you the best? What is the best way and most effective way that you have heard the audible voice of God? Do you know that? Can I tell you how bad he wants you to know that? There's nothing like it. And so in these 21 days of prayer and fasting, my desire is your pastor. I'm leading us corporately into this. This is January at our church, okay? I'm leading us 700 books to go take the book and sit with the Lord, okay? I want you to spend 21 days intentionally, that's a word, may not be used a lot, but intentionally carving out time and a place to sit and be still and know that he is God. And you, after 21 days, I can promise you, will get up from that location and you will know not only God better, you will know you better. You will know you in a way you've never known yourself before. Never. Never. I grew up, real fast, I grew up in a denomination, okay? When I was called to ministry, what they echo, what I heard them always say is, if you don't go to seminary, you will never work at a large church. So what did I do? Went to seminary. 5.5 years, I drove every Monday to seminary. It's my off day. Never finished it. When I got done with seminary, I walked away from it. 42 of 62 hours, walked away from it, okay? Went to work at churches, began to do ministry. And once I began to move towards the pastorate, I started emulating what other pastors do and how they study. Can I tell you how miserable I was? Very miserable. I was too busy being what everybody told me I was supposed to do and be and model myself after man. Instead of sitting with the Lord and saying, God, who am I and how do I hear you? So I'm walking around the sidewalk at Quail Creek. Big church, big parking lot, a lot of room to walk. And God said, your name is Jeff. I made you. And you're going to have to walk intimately with me. You're going to study different, teach different. You're going to do it different than seminary and a bunch of people you know. And that's okay. But you're going to have to do it the way I want you to do it. And I'm going to do my part in doing it more than you could ever think or imagine. And once I decided to be Jeff, I was so free. I was free before there was freedom, all right? I'm serious. I was taking freedom the first time and I was like, whew, God set me free before I got a book called Freedom. I mean, it was so affirming and so freeing for me to hear it again, all right? Some of us have spent our lives doing it the way everyone told us to do it and be what everybody told us to be. We don't know ourselves any better today than we did when we were hatched. And we have got to get back to knowing who we are. You, me, ourselves. And the only way to do that is to get in the beautiful, wonderful presence of Almighty God and say, God, teach me and show me who I am. I want to know you so I can know me. In 21 days of prayer and fasting is your invitation to do just that. I'm going to invite you to stand, church. As the worship team leads us in worship, ministry teams will be in the back, altars wide open. You're 5 days into a new year. You don't need another New Year's resolution. Most don't last till Valentine's, and then if they are, they're on life support till spring break, all right? Let's not do that. Instead of chasing a New Year's resolution this year, how about you and me chase the presence of Almighty God? How about we do that? How about we be still and know that He is God? And the more we know Him, the more we'll know us. And so this altar's for you. Make that resolution. Make that declaration. If you need prayer, they're in the back. Let me lead us, and we're gonna worship. Father, we love you. God, all we want is you. That's it. All we want is you. 25 is a year of deep. No more toe in the water, playing in the sand. God, I wanna trust you to go where the water's deep, where I can't touch the bottom. I'll feel out of control, but I'm more in control than I've ever been because I'm in your control. So God, take me and do in me what's needed to be done for years. And God, my declaration to you in 25 is I'm going after you. We love you, we praise you, we adore you, and we worship you now in Christ's name. Amen, amen. Come if you need to, church.
Hey, thanks for joining us today here at the Church at Bushland Online. Hey, if you were inspired by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop a message in the comments, or you could email us at info@thechurchatbushland.com. We'd love to hear what God's doing in your life. Also, man, if there's anything we could agree for in prayer with you guys, just text the word pray to 806-557-1800. We believe there's power in agreement with the Lord. And so if we could pray for you, just do that for us. And if you'd like to connect further with us through social media, just search The Church at Bushland. You can find out more things that are coming up here and get involved that way. And then if you'd like to plan a visit, we'd love to see you face-to-face. We have services here 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. You can go to our website, thechurchatbushland.com, and plan that visit. And we look forward to meeting you that way. Finally, man, just thanks again for joining us. Pray your faith was encouraged, and we look forward to journeying with you in the days ahead. So have a blessed day.